You're listening to the Salon Owners Collective podcast, where each week we share stories and expertise from business owners like you, plus experts, influencers, and Larissa's actionable steps that will transform your business and your life. And now your host, Larissa McLemon.
Hey, thanks for joining me. Larissa here from the Salon Owners Collective. Now, before I introduce you to today's guest, I want to take a moment for a little bit of a self-appreciation and sharing. So my self-appreciation is that I'm proud of myself for going to the gym now for 6 whole weeks consistently. Now, this is no easy feat. You know, it's been a journey and I'm approaching 3 years in business now. And of course, when you start a business and things haven't taken off yet, you are trying to get everything going, but in fact, you have quite a lot of time. And so I walked the dog and I went to the gym and I did all of the things and was really enjoying some lifestyle. And I remember the same when I first started the salon. A client would cancel, I would leave the salon, I would go for a walk. I did go to the gym. I was a strong gym exercise person. And not to mention that when you are in a salon, hair or beauty, you are up and down and moving about all the time. And then, of course, what happens is your business starts to take off and it gets busy and success is on its way to you. Guess what happens? You become time poor. Now in the salon, that means getting booked back to back by clients, but at least you're moving. And what I discovered as things really took off here and life got busy for me here at Salon Owners Collective is I spend a lot of time sitting at a desk. I know, quite a different life from being in the salon. And I loved getting busy. I loved the thrill of that. But the consequence of that was that I sat on my bum, not moving day in, day out. And I really was starting to feel the effects of having no physical movement. And I have to say, my share really is that it not only affects you physically, I was starting to have aches and pains, you know, a few extra kilos around the waist. That's probably an understatement. But it affects you mentally. I was starting to get brain fog and not feeling motivated towards the things that I would normally feel motivated for. So anyway, if you are feeling like this, I want to encourage you that just hang in there because two things will happen. If you're doing it right, there will come a time in your business when you step over, like it's a tipping point, when you step over the certain threshold, which is exactly what I help people do, right? Step into freedom and profit. And there comes a time where the financial business model supports the time model. Because in the hair and beauty space, much like coaching, we sell time. And at some point you need to, as the owner, be able to step back and reinvest in self. Self-care, self-love, because otherwise you're not going to survive the journey of growth, okay? And so we can't do this until we get to a certain size where we can start to employ a team and delegate things that we otherwise are trying to do all the things ourselves. And there comes a time when this moment comes when you can start to claim back a little moment for yourself. And with it comes the brain space to be able to bring something new into your life, like going to the gym, eating more healthy, giving up wine. Hey, just saying, I'm also drinking less, weekends only or social events only. So all of these things are going right because I was in the right frame of mind, the right time. I had the time and the space to invest back into myself. So I'm really pleased. But also it really reminded me that, you know, there's a time and a phase for everything. And there's a certain point in your business when it's time to buckle down and just go for it and grow and do what it is, wear all the hats. The smart thing to do is to make sure that you don't stay there for too long because you can't sustain it and you will burn out. So that was my little share. I love getting up at 5:30 in the morning. And at the beginning, it was a really hard challenge, but now I'm into some momentum. This week, I'm aiming for 5 visits. Can you believe it? I don't normally, today's a Tuesday, I'm recording this. I don't normally go on a Tuesday, but I was so motivated and full of energy that I decided to get up this morning and do an extra one. So I've obviously moved into the crazy gym fanatic phase. Let's see how long it lasts. All right, I hope that motivates you to either hang in there while you're in the dip or while you're in the hard yards, grinding part of your business. Remind you not to make sure you take some strategic steps to make sure you don't stay there for too long. And when the time comes, step into a little self-care. Some exercise will do you wonder. Drink less wine, do more exercise. All right, that was my little rant and share for the day. But if you ever wonder how you can set yourself apart from other salons or spas that are close to you, and you know that your brand rocks, you're inside it every day, and that you'd be a perfect fit for so many clients, you know you can serve so many more people than you are now. And the question is, of course, how do you tell that to people? So the answer is that people actually don't want goods and services. They actually want something more to believe in. So in this episode of the podcast, I'm actually chatting with Monica Shepherd. Now, she's her business is, mark my words, she is a copywriter, and she believes in bringing brands to life through storytelling, right up my alley. So I'm excited to have her on this episode. I know that it can be so tempting to write your website or your Facebook page all about how great you are. I mean, that's intuitive, right? We want to tell people how good we are at seamlessly blending our foils and how we are experts at balayage and how good we are at, you know, making your skin feel amazing. But at the end of the day, guess what? Every other salon is doing the same. People actually don't care about you and what you do. Did you know that? They don't actually care. What they want to know is what you can do for them. And there's a difference. And what makes you different from every other similar salon out there? Because if your messaging is not unique, then guess what? In their eyes, you are not unique. So it's your individual story that makes you different from everybody else. So tell people about that, about your story and how you do things differently or uniquely or from your own journey or your own personal position. Monica believes that we need to create a sense of experience through the way that we write about our business. Now, in this social media and digital world, writing becomes super important. This is the way that we communicate. And when I say writing, I'm including creating content like video, even thinking about what it is that you're saying and how you're saying it. So we're going to chat about how to make your customer, your client, the hero of your story, and how you can tell people why they should choose you without making it all about you, but about what you can do for them. Sometimes we can be so focused on booking our clients and that we forget about what it's actually like to be a client or to be a client looking for a new service provider. So tune into this episode. I know you'll enjoy it and I look forward to you meeting Monica. Hey, Monica, thank you so much for joining me on the Salon Owners Collective podcast. I'm pleased to have you here.
Thank you for having me. I'm excited. This is something I'm really passionate about, so I'm excited to share.
It's nice to have a fellow Kiwi on the podcast.
Yeah, I know. All these people listening will have these two lovely Kiwi accents to listen to.
So why don't you start with telling us where in New Zealand you are, what do you do, and how did you get to be doing exactly that?
Okay, cool. So I am a copywriter. My business is called Mark My Words, and I started Mark My Words in 2010. What is a copywriter? I basically help brands tell their story through compelling written content. So for many businesses, that will be their online presence. So the words on their website, blogs, articles, social copy. It could also be things like product descriptions, point of sale, marketing collateral, and increasingly things like video scripts and chatbots, which I know a lot of you guys use. So it's basically anywhere where you might have a touch point with your audience that requires written content. And it's my job to ensure that it's written with impact and in a way that really has a consistent voice and speaks to the right audience. So how did I get started? Well, this probably is a long story, but given that we're talking about stories, I guess it's only fair that I kind of start with mine. So to preclude this, I will start by saying that when I started Mark My Words, I had actually never worked as a copywriter before. And I feel comfortable saying that now because it has been kind of nearly 10 years. So I do have some kind of, I have proved myself and I do have some creds now. But for a long time, that was definitely my dirty little secret. But now I kind of leverage that tenacity as part of my story. So I did a degree in linguistics. I was really interested in the way that we communicate, why we say what we say, and the nuances of languages. Probably listeners are probably wondering what you do with a linguistics degree, and to be honest, I had no idea either. So I finished uni and I wanted to travel. Being a broke student though, I didn't really have the funds to do that, but I decided that one way to see the world would be to work for an airline. So I actually went up to Dubai and I worked for Emirates Airline as cabin crew. So I was 21 years old and I was seeing the world and ticking things off, actually ticking things off that I never even had on my bucket list in the first place. And for some people, it might be hard to remember this time, but it was the time before Facebook. And going back a while. But how I was keeping in touch with my friends and my family back home was actually via email. So, you know, like I'd write an email and add in all the email addresses and send this off. And I was sharing these experiences and people were really loving them. And I'd get replies from people like, when's the next update? And like, can't wait to hear what you do next. And I had an old netball coach who was a travel agent and she was sharing my emails with her clients. And looking back, I can see that the reason that people were really loving these updates was not because they were like, oh, look, you know, you went off to Great Wall of China or the Eiffel Tower, but it was kind of the random, hilarious snippets of experiences that I was telling people, like the strange things that passengers were doing, or, you know, like the nuances of human behavior and the cultural quirks and all that kind of stuff was what was really fascinating people. So now looking back, I can see that I had kind of, got caught up in telling these stories, and I wasn't creating and I wasn't embellishing, but I was just telling things in a way that were quite compelling to people. People back home who were, you know, this was all new to them, and they were almost like coming on this journey with me and like waiting for what was coming next. And I feel like as a kid, I was quite creative, and my dad very proudly still has a folder of a whole bunch of stories that I wrote. But, you know, when you're young, like creativity is really encouraged, but then you get a bit older and you almost become a little bit self-conscious about that creativity. And then, you know, going into university and academic writing, it's not creative at all. But I think like what my point is there is that I always had this sense of like writing and being creative in me, but it just wasn't really nurtured. And now all of a sudden I kind of had this way to express without any pressure. So fast forward a little bit and I came back to New Zealand, and I returned during the recession, and I basically got told to take whatever job that I could get. And for me, that was working in a law firm. And I found myself in this environment that was really about hierarchy. Your worth was very much tied into your job title. And it was just an environment that it just didn't really sit well with me. And I really felt like I had to get out of there. Like I'd come from quite a, you know, working, traveling the world, this amazing job, and then sitting in an office, and it just didn't work. So when I started thinking about what I really loved, and I kind of came back to that writing. So I did a diploma in copywriting and editing, and that was the first time I ever knew that copywriting was a thing. Like before that, I didn't even know it existed. So, but of course, what happens in a recession is that a lot of people lose their jobs. And I was kind of going out looking for jobs now, and I was up against people who had experience, and I just didn't. So what I figured though was that there were businesses out there who needed these skills. They just kind of didn't have the budget to keep them in house. And I thought, well, they still need someone to do it. They need a freelancer. So I did what an insane person does, and I quit my job and started back my words, just like on a whim. So that looking back now, that's absolutely crazy. And I'm honestly the most indecisive person in the world. And I can't even tell you now how I managed to come to this place where I made that decision. But all I can say is that it felt right. And I know that sounds bad, but you know, since then I have gone on to work for some amazing brands with, you know, and done work that has given me a bit more of a formal framework around what I do. But I think that a big part of my success in working with small business owners is the fact that I've kind of been there too, and started and struggled and found my way that way. But I guess from there, how things really started was that being someone with no budget, I still needed to get found and I needed to get clients. And I'd hacked together a website and figured that I needed to get found online. And what I think is kind of funny is that I went out and I bought a book on search engine optimization. And I think that's funny because I was trying to learn about like presenting myself online, and I went and bought a book how to do it instead of researching online. Anyway, I bought a book, read it cover to cover, taught myself everything there was to know about SEO at that time. Optimized my own website, and in doing so, as kind of I was getting inquiries coming through and my results were climbing up the search ranks, people were saying, well, look, we found you online. Can you do the same for us? Of course, it's not really as easy as that, but what had happened by default, I kind of created this position for myself as an SEO copywriter, so someone with an understanding around keywords and getting found online. And I guess you kind of have to remember that back then, not everyone had a website, but people were kind of really ramping things up with this online presence. So SEO was all the rage, but there was no one really kind of fully owning this space. Going on from there, though, the internet started to really democratize things for business, right? So everyone had a business. Everyone who has a business had a website online. So it's one thing to get found online, but then it's another to actually convert those visitors into customers, right? So no amount of keywords can do that. For many people, that their websites were becoming like the first point of contact for people with their brand. So we know that you do business with someone that you know, like, trust. So then your website really became less about that, like, just transaction of information, and really about building a relationship and creating like that connection that you would normally do if you had a face-to-face meeting. So how does that happen? Well, that kind of comes back to language, right? And having connection and personality and really having resonance with an audience. So long story short, here's my point, is that this is why I'm so heavily focused on storytelling. In the circles that I move in, there's an inclination to think that this concept of storytelling is a little bit trite, but there's a reason that it's talked about so much is because it's just so incredibly important, because that is how you start to build relationships with your audience. So,
right.
Yeah.
And I mean, even more so now, becoming so important because that's in a social world, that's all we do. And we can't just outsource it every couple of months to have our website updated. This is a daily ongoing requirement now. So
that's right.
Everybody who wants to sell anything needs to have some level of storytelling ability.
Totally.
Hence why I wanted to bring you on the podcast.
Yeah.
So let's talk about, now we kind of know what storytelling is. Let's talk a little bit about, what are some of the things that we need to consider to become good at storytelling? If storytelling is the thing that convinces people that we are for them.
Yeah. Okay. So I think first I want to get really clear around storytelling, because I think there's this kind of an association that it's like fluff or fiction, but it's not at all. Storytelling is really just using like authentic, relatable content to represent your brand. It's real, and it's the human touch points, and it's not about being like whimsical and creative. It's just about being really engaging. And but I do think if you think about like the last piece of fiction that you did read, you probably in some way felt a connection to a character, or you went on a bit of a journey, or you felt different emotions, or you were made to think about something or challenged your thinking. And that's like literally what storytelling is, but you can do that in the context of your business. And I think that people don't realize that they literally do it every day. As humans, that's how we connect. We connect, and you don't have to look very far in your own circles to see that, like who your friendship groups are, who your cultural circles you're in, like you've bonded over shared ideologies, memories, experiences, like that's storytelling. And I think that people kind of put this pressure on themselves where they're like, oh, I have to create something, but you like literally do it every day. And I think it's so important, right? Because in this world where we are bombarded with content, you only have to go online. And I think it's especially relevant for, something that you guys do. There's so many salon owners and stuff. So how do you stand out? And it's these elements of story and this story, these human touch points that you bring in, that really allows you to connect and for your audience to see something in you that resonates with something in them. So It really starts by talking authentically and honestly about who you are and what you're good at and who you want to work with. And it's also about being vulnerable and just like speaking your truth. And by doing that, the right people will find you. And I think this is increasingly important as well in the world of millennials. And there was a clip from Simon Sinek that I can recommend where he talks about this. And millennials are looking for jobs with purpose, but they're also looking to use their purchasing power with purpose. And so they're not just looking for value, they're looking for the values that go into a business. And I read a stat the other day and it was like 87% of millennials face a purchasing decision around a business's social policy. So I think there's a real opportunity there, and the opportunity is in your story and how it could be your best selling point. So the first thing I think that's really important to do is to define what your story is. So I think a good starting point for this is to really focus on your brand values. Because if you know your brand values, then you can kind of keep coming back to this and you're really clear about, clear and consistent about what you communicate. And it becomes easy for kind of people to identify that that's what really matters to you. There's a couple of parts to this, but I think ultimately it starts from really understanding your why. And I know this is a topic that's talked about a lot, and you can go online and find heaps of information about that, so I won't go into it too much. However, when it comes to your messaging, your brand story, what you really need to do is to be keeping your customer as the hero of that why. So yes, it's your story, but it's how your story now serves your audience. How your story intersects with your customer's story. So that's kind of like the sweet spot. And you kind of have to remember that, particularly when it comes to websites, that visitors are looking at a whole lot. So they might put in something like Wellington hairdresser, say, and search results come up. And I tell my clients often that imagine like those search results are like a street, and it's hairdresser street, and everyone is lined up, all your competitors are lined up, and you've got a potential customer who's coming door knocking, and they're coming into your salon looking for a reason to choose you. So that's what they're doing online. You know, they're clicking into your website. They already know what they need. So they already know that they need a haircut or a dye or a massage or whatever it is. So they know what they need, but they're looking for a reason that you are the person to do that for them. So they're looking not just for something to buy, but to believe in. And, you know, while initially it might be price or location, when you've got people who are kind of on an equal playing field, like what is the thing that stands out? And I think what people get wrong, especially on their websites, is to just talk about their services, like this is what we do, but that makes you no different to the business down the street.
Or they talk about we do this and we,
yeah,
do this and we are,
exactly.
We,
yeah,
won awards and we have fabulous people and we have fabulous services. It's like,
yeah,
really liked what you said. It's like, it's not about, it's that intersection, which is, you know, I want to know about you and your personal story and your why, but how that affects me, the customer.
Exactly.
You know, what can you do for me?
How do you serve me? Yeah.
How does that serve me? Does it resonate with me?
Yeah. Like, it's obvious that you're good at what you do and you're doing this, but like, you know, I have to feel like there's something more here. And I think that especially as women, like you buy, you use your emotions and your senses to buy, right? So that's where I think using story is really important, because you pull in kind of you almost like create a sense of experience through the way that you write about your business. It's not just like, here it is. And I use, sometimes when I talk about this, I use the example, the story of two stonecutters. I don't know if you've heard this one, but basically two stonecutters are working away. They're cutting rock into bricks, and someone comes by and they say to the first stonecutter, what are you doing? And he's like, oh, I'm cutting stone into brick. And then they ask the second stonecutter, what are you doing? And he's like, well, I'm helping to build a cathedral. So it's kind of like zooming out from that. So there's a bigger story around what you do. Like, those are the tasks that you do. Like, yes, you do this. This is a service you provide. But what's the impact that you have on people's lives? Or like, what, like, can you go beyond the obvious and give the reader an experience of like what it would be like? What's the feeling? Like, what are the emotions? Like the senses and and the feelings that you get and what's kind of the impact that you might have on the world. And what I encourage someone to do is to think about like an aspect of your job that you just really love. Like when, if someone were to ask you, you'd just have like a lot of energy in the way that you spoke about it. Cause when you get this sense of energy, that's when you know that you're kind of vibing, like, and that's the vibration that you need to kind of continue, without trying to sound too woo-woo there, but like that's where you kind of need to speak from. Because when you're speaking from that place, you're not speaking with your head, you're speaking with your heart. And it's like, I can tell you for certain that when you write from the heart, you just never have writer's block. Like, you know how to express yourself. And that's what you kind of need to get yourself into a place. So while everyone might have similar features, you can kind of narrow down on something or emphasize something that nobody else is talking about in your industry, and really pull out a point of difference in the way that you communicate about what you do. Because like most industries, there's probably a bit of a vernacular that everyone uses. Like, everyone uses similar words. So if someone were to land on your website, like, how can you get that attention or like stand out and really like capture their kind of curiosity? And that's kind of in the way that you talk about what you do. Like, how does your service make people feel? What do people thank you for most often? What are the results of what you guys do that really matter? So it's talking about that stuff rather than just like the what, if that makes sense.
Yeah. Not the tactical, functional things like the haircut and the colour.
Yeah.
Although it's really hard, I see people trying to do this, and I see it really hard when people say, you know, and we want to make you feel really special, or going to give you really good customer service. It's like, actually, some of those intangible things, people don't know that they're looking for them.
So absolutely.
You can't articulate. When you come here, we're going to make it, I don't know, an example fails me right at this moment, but it's like, there are some things you can't articulate tactically, even though it's emotive.
Yeah.
Is that making sense?
You can't, yeah, I think so.
Tactical thing. And so we're going to give you great customer service. It's like,
yeah.
Actually, I'm not looking for customer service.
Well, that's it. Because you expect that, right? Like, everyone goes into a business and expects good customer service. But I think what's really valuable, and I encourage anyone in any industry to do this, is to really do some customer research. And it might actually be getting somebody else. Like, and it's because when you talk to your customers, you're getting like their words, their turns of phrase, the things, their motivating desires, like why are they coming in their own words. And that's the language that you want to use on your website or wherever you're talking, because we, as a business owner, you have a perspective about what you think people want, but they've got their own perspective, right? And that's what
exactly.
You need to tap into.
And you have your own language, internal language, but it's internal business language. It's not customer language.
Yeah.
I just, for you guys that are listening, I really want you to tune into that, because this, I have this piece in both of my programs, and it's the one piece that gets completed the least, because nobody wants to do the hard yards of going and having the conversation and doing the interviews with your customers. Yeah.
Because sometimes it's scary. You also don't want to hear sometimes what people have to say. But
yeah, or you don't want to make time for it, because you want to be doing the do and not doing the research. Because research, yeah, you know, it takes a long time before you get an output for that, you know, a result from that. But for those that go ahead and do it, or even better, go into a proper formal process, those are the ones that actually get the results.
Absolutely. And I mean, it's I encourage it big time with the clients that I work with, because you'll find gems in there that you just would never have thought of, like, ever. And remember that story is all about resonance. So, and to really resonate, you kind of just need to have it, honestly, I've seen like one line transform like the way that someone would connect with a business. And it's just fully down to being able to understand the voice of the customer and what they're looking for.
Yeah. And one customer, not 12.
Yeah. Yeah.
We digress.
Yes.
Okay, yes, we could talk about that for a long time.
Yeah.
So talk to me a little bit about looking for stories. Like, okay, we've got the voice of the customer in our mind, and we're not being tactical about the functional things we're doing. How do we come up with these stories?
Yeah, and it's honestly one of the biggest things, right, is, and I find especially with social copy, people were like, well, I've got nothing to say. Like, I don't know what to write about. like going back to what I was talking about before, like story is literally everywhere, and there is opportunity. And I think, you know, you guys are dealing with people day in, day out. Like you're literally confronted with stories every day. And when you are talking about your business, I think it's also important to remember that you've got an audience that's, it's not just customers, but also potential employees. So the way that the business as well that you portray, like you, there's stories around your workplace that you probably want to bring in terms of like a recruitment brand as well. But this is, I guess, where sharing on social becomes so important, because that's where we're also building up that know, like, trust factor that we were talking about before, which I think is especially important in our part of the world. Like, we're very much around that whole, we need to feel like we trust someone before we engage with them. But again, I think it comes back, firstly, it comes back to those values. So let's say that as a brand, one of your values is like, we always go above and beyond. So if you stopped today and you're like, how have we lived that value today? And like, where can we find a story that aligns with that in whatever we've done today? Or perhaps it's like, we always innovate. So where in your business today could you find a story that aligns with that? And I don't mean to actually spell it out like, oh, today we went above and beyond by, this is that whole like show, not tell thing. Yeah. But because like by going back to your values and then by thinking, aligning your messages with that, you're kind of telling, you're sending the message to your audience about what it is that's really important to you guys as a brand. So coming back to your question about finding the ordinary stories, it could be something as simple as like telling the story behind why you choose to serve a particular brand of tea in your salon. Is that because you have chosen to work with like a local female business owner because that's something that matters to you? Or you are you've partnered with a eco-friendly brand because being a sustainable salon is something that's really important to you. So you can actually find stories in places that you probably didn't expect to, but all these things that you talk about help to build a perception around what matters to you as a brand and what's important to you and who you want to serve as well. So you know, I was reading a story about a salon that is their position kind of like off the street, and it's the woman who runs it is a real introvert, and she's created a space that's really appealing to other introverts who kind of want to go and they don't want to talk, they just want to read magazines. So there could be something, you know, about your brand that is different. And there's just stories, you know, there's stories everywhere, and even every single person that sits in your chair has a story. And I don't mean that you kind of tell their, like literally tell their personal story, but perhaps there's something about that person that challenged you, or that you know, their haircut challenged you or whatever, or made you realize how much you love your job. Like there's kind of moments in your day, and I think that if you always think back to those values, then you can, it actually helps to find those stories, because you think, this is what matters to us, and here's today how we perpetuated that. And when you talk about those things consistently, especially on social media, I think that you kind of create a sense of familiarity, and people begin to recognize like who you, what you stand for and who you are. And if that's something that aligns with them, then you build that kind of like connection, that emotional connection that people are looking for.
That's how you actually get the customers that you want.
Exactly.
That you actually like, who like you and actually are going to stay with you because you've got some other reason to be connected.
Yeah. And it's hard, right? Because I think sometimes you think, well, I can help anyone. Like, I can work with anyone, but there'll be jobs where you're just, or people you chat to who you're like, it's just easy and you just vibe. And when you think about it, those people, it's because those people probably align with your own values or what's important to you. So if you want more of those people, you have to talk more about what matters to you, and the right people find you, you know. And and it starts those conversations, especially on social now, which is super important. It's a two-way street. So being able to kind of engage and have those conversations. And like I said, as humans, we're hardwired to respond to stories, you know. And so when you see this kind of stuff pop up on social, and it's not just like a sales pitch, it's actually something you can engage with, then you build relationships, and you know that your relationship extends far out from the salon or the spa.
The hard thing is deciding who you are and being comfortable to show yourself, the human side, because you put yourself out there to be, well, the feeling is that you put yourself out there to be judged, right?
That's right.
But in fact, what you're saying is the human side of your business is what builds loyalty. Talk to me a little bit about that.
Yeah. So again, I think loyalty is achieved through resonance. So when we see someone who we want to support, we really believe in them. And I've seen someone do this really well, of where they have actually documented the journey from, you know, like when they first started, they started a business and they gone through this renovating the space and opening a salon, and it was like they had people on board with them behind the scenes before the salon even opened, through the highs and the lows. So when the salon opened, it was like, I just really want to support this person. Like, you feel really compelled. Like, you feel like you've been on the journey and you've almost contributed to it, and now you get to celebrate their success. So that, all that behind the scenes stuff, which I think sometimes we don't want to be vulnerable with, and you want to hide, and like, you know, sometimes that's the strongest, most interesting part of your story. And what you guys do is, you know, what you do is so humanistic. Like, you're in this amazing position, right, where you interact with people every single day. You have so much insight into humans and like what matters to them and why they're coming to see you. And you listen to people every day. And I don't think, you know, it's never been more important online now to be able to listen and to be able to kind of craft messaging around that is super important as well. So how do you communicate with people when you're in the chair? Like, you're not pitching at them, you're not giving a sales pitch, which is like, why would you suddenly jump online and just like come at people with a sales pitch? That's not how you operate. So it's like, it's just kind of, I don't know, you're taking the experience that you would physically have with someone in your salon or in your chair and trying to translate that with the same vibe and the way that you speak. And it's just about being really open, being really transparent with staff, kind of just sharing those, like the real human side. And that's, we want to see people succeed, like we want to support people. And I think just being really open and honest about the journeys that we're on helps you, make you more relatable as well.
So, I mean, and in fact, it's really whatever works in real life, just put it online. Let's not overthink it here.
Yeah. Just with good grammar.
With good grammar.
Yeah.
And slightly thought out, the story slightly thought out.
Yeah, that's
actually,
right.
Actually being aware of what you're doing and how you're going to report that.
But yeah. And again, coming back to your recruitment brand as well, like if you're looking for good staff and they see you online and you're kind of this really welcoming team, or you talk about the way that your team interacts or the way that you learn or how people, you know, the environment that they're going to be working in, like that's huge. That if you can almost get a sense of that before even working there, and it's like, man, that's somewhere I would love to work, because you can already get a sense of the people and what matters to the people that you could potentially be working with. So it's all about transparency, I think, and just being really relatable and I think that we, like you said before, like we just really try to overcomplicate things. Mm. We think that it's almost like I have to craft something, and that's where I see clients get stuck, is they're like, they feel like they have to craft it, but it's like, just get your ideas out and then refine it. Just get your message out. And
yeah, that's right. It's a journey. You don't have to have it worked all out. Actually, I was a guest on a podcast today, and that was what was your quote or your mantra? And it's like, done is better than perfect, because if you wait till it's perfect, it will never be done.
Yep.
So just start and work it out. It's like jump off the cliff and work it on your way down, and keep what works and ditch what doesn't.
Yeah.
And just keep evolving it, because we're evolving anyway. So the story's never going to be one fixed story, is it?
That's so true. Yeah.
Really evolutionary. So it might as well travel the journey with you.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
All right. So you're a business owner, obviously, of your own. What is a quote or a mantra or something that kind of keeps you moving forward or grounded, or what's your saying?
So I thought that I would, you know, come in with something that I think really is relevant to what we've just been talking about. And it's a quote by Seth Godin that says, "People do not buy goods and services, they buy relationships, stories, and magic." So I think that that is something super important. So sell the story and they'll buy the magic, you know. So just remember that your story and the people in your business and all the experiences that everyone brings with it, that is what you're selling. You know, you're not selling a service. You're actually selling so much more than that. And I think that that's something everyone needs to remember.
That's awesome. All right. What's a book, a podcast, some kind of resource that you suggest that all business owners should read?
Okay, cool. Well, again, on the topic of story, if you are keen to learn out more about being a story-driven business, there is a book by Paul Smith called Lead with Story. And it kind of walks you through the process of really understanding how you can really define your own story and leverage it to set yourself apart from everyone else in your industry.
Awesome. Yeah. Well, thank you so much for your words of wisdom and sharing your story, which really, again, just highlights how and why story is so important. Yeah. There was lots of really great takeaways in there. So I want you guys to be listening and taking that on board. So where can people find you, stalk you, and come and read your story? Give us yes. some dubs in your socials.
Awesome. So I am online, www.markmywords.co.nz. You can find me on Instagram. That's probably where I play the most, which is mark.my.words.nz. I'm sure if you search Mark My Words, it will probably come up. And also on Facebook, Mark My Words NZ. You can find me on there as well.
Fantastic. Again, thank you so much, Monica, for spending the time with us.
No worries.
And that's a wrap for today. Thanks, Monica. I really did enjoy our chat. I do believe that storytelling is such an important aspect of all of our online marketing, not just your online marketing, but your brand as a whole. This is our communication method, right? What you write about your businesses and the services that you offer is the message. It is what reflects your brand and its entirety. So we've got to make sure we get it right. Instead of trying to get your marketing language perfect, just write from the heart and go from there. So if you're ready to grow, but you feel stuck, and maybe your marketing or your messaging is not on point, and you know you need to make a few intentional strategic moves to make a change, then I want to informally invite you to join the Freedom and Profit program. Depending on what suits you, we have the Freedom and Profit Hub, we have the Freedom and Profit Full Immersion Coaching Program. So I'm coaching a small group of salon owners step-by-step, fully immersed, stepping out of overwhelm and gaining clarity and moving into momentum and a life of freedom and profit. It is achievable. So I don't promise it will be easy, but I do promise it will be worth it. So I'm going to leave the link below in the show notes for you to come and check it out. And if you're keen, book a call with me or one of my team. Thanks again for tuning in today. And I look forward to seeing you next week, or rather you hearing me. See you next week.
Thanks for joining us for another episode of the Salon Owners Collective podcast. Tune in each week as we reveal the latest insight and advice on what it takes to make your salon a success today. Subscribe to the Salon Owners Collective podcast on iTunes or visit us online at salonownerscollective.com for answers to your common questions, to follow Larissa, and much more. Thanks for listening. See you next time.